Hello everyone and welcome to the round three preview of NRL Supercoach 2023. Huge week of Supercoach up ahead. Big trades decisions to be made, rage trades, captaincy, sells, buys, break-evens, all of that good stuff to get into this week. So hopefully you all can hear me okay. I'm going to say that I think at the beginning of every stream from now on just to make sure that I'm not looking like an idiot talking to myself. Let me know if you can hear me in the chat. Please do give the stream a like as well if you do enjoy it throughout. Thank you everyone for being in the chat already. I can say hello to Tyler, Ryan, Ian, Tom, Sticky Nicky, Rio, Steezers, Footy Edits, John T, Luke, Moz, as always, appreciate it. Lots of regulars, but really good to have you all here on this Tuesday evening. I appreciate that there was a lot of podcasts going out today, but it is one of those weeks, I think, where earlier that we can get our thoughts out, probably the better. We're all going to be umming and ahhing, I think, trades up until Thursday lockout. At least I know I will be. Cool, sounds on. That's what I like to hear, that you guys can hear me. So keep your questions coming in. I also do want to give a bit of a quick apology. Like, I know a lot of people posted trade questions to me this week, and it was very hard to, like, there's so many questions coming in this week, given how kind of many different avenues that we can go. So hopefully this stream I'll be able to tackle some of those hot topics, but we will leave some time at the end purely for a Q&A as well, just to try to get to more team specific trades as well that people may have as well. So I think we won't probably delay. I can already see heaps of questions. There's heaps to get through, so I think we'll we'll keep running through. Hop God captain of mine, yeah, for sure. He could be a captaincy option. We'll touch on captaincy as well. Steez is asking about, can I talk about my trades? Definitely, we'll have some time more towards the end as well, I think, on what I'm thinking about doing with trades as well. So quickly, I'll just quickly update on how I went last week, if you hadn't seen already. So I scored 1047, which was actually pretty happy with, pretty good week. A couple of pods like near Corey went well for me. So yeah, up to 7.5K. So yeah, doing pretty good, which is happy to see. I didn't use any trades as well. So definitely can boost this week if I'm interested in doing it. Quick shout out as well to the group league. So we had Anthony still at the top there after a pretty good score of 1088 last week. A couple of other big scores as well, like I'm seeing an 11-5 from Tijuana. And I've forgotten to show a little bit of merch that I might be giving away as well as part of this group league. But if you do want to join the group, do use that code that is below my floating circular head. And shout out as well to Mason, who had the top score of this week of 1241, which is insane. Right. I think we'll just keep cracking. I want to try to get through topics, efficiently, but leave some time for your questions as well, because I think, it's really important we do that this week. So I mentioned this last week. I'll quickly mention it again. With price changes and break-evens being so important this week, given that this is going to be the first week of price rises to happen. So one thing that's important is if you're looking at players' break-evens, just be mindful of the fact that the round two score is more important for the players' longer-term price increases compared to round one, because it'll be in their rolling three score average for longer than that round one score. So a perfect example, someone like a Jacob Carraz versus a Jermaine Asako. So Asako went like 108 round one, and then I think like 48 in round two. Carraz went like 51 round one, but then 145 round two. So even though from the top of my head, I think they've got similar break-evens, Carraz, if they both scored the same from here on in, Carraz would probably make more money just because he's got that bigger score in his rolling average for longer. So that's something to keep in mind. If you are 50-50 on two players, just keep in mind that whole mechanism of the three-round rolling average should help you out as well, just when you're kind of digging a little bit deeper when you look into the break-evens as well. And you'll probably hear me mention that throughout the stream as well, and when we talk a little bit more about break-evens. Cool. So I think the first thing that I wanted to kind of touch on this week was a bit of the cheapy talk and just all the players that I think who have got those really enticing break evens, the ones who are going to go up in price. I think there's always this argument at the beginning of each season, how much do we prioritize cash generation versus the points? I think I'd lean more towards the cash generation at the start. You want to build up your bank so that later on in the season, you can start bringing in more and more guns. More and more in the season, we just have more sample size, more data, like we just have more games that we can assess players on. You kind of just have a better idea of who are the guns that you want to target. having more cash to play with is always just going to make that easier. So I think going a little bit higher on priority of cash generation, I don't think is a bad strategy. So I think a lot of these players are definitely worth consideration. Number one on the list is Hopgood, Jermaine Hopgood. I honestly, if you don't own Hopgood, I don't think I need to speak too much about him. Absolutely lock him into your team. That average is ridiculous. Break even is ridiculous. Minus 139. If he gets another ton, he is probably in line to get the highest ever single round cash increase. So just get him in. I don't think I need to spend too much more time. I think if you're watching the stream, you probably already own him anyway. Tabuai Fadeau is the second on the list. I've got a section specifically talking more about center wings later. So I'll probably speak a little bit more about him at that point. But what I wanted to do just in this particular section was probably talk about ones who I'm not going to really touch on later in the stream in a bit more detail, just to kind of knock that out really quickly. So someone like Braden Trindle, for example, one of the strategies that I was thinking about yesterday before today's news was potentially Cleary down to Trindle just to make like bulk cash. But the thing is that Nico Hines came out and there was an article in the Daily Telegraph where he basically was saying that he's pretty much thinking that he'll be good to go from round four. I think having that kind of a assessment from Nico, obviously the players might be a little bit more kind of optimistic than the team's medical staff. But if it sounds like, you know, round four, round five is kind of in line with what we were originally thinking or told from Wacko, Wacko's Whispers, that is, it just means Trindle, you're going to get maybe one good price rise out of him if Nico Hines is back round four, maybe two if Hines is back round five. I just think now there's a bit too much risk going with Trindle because I think sooner rather than later, he'll go back to the bench and any cash flow is stopped. So Trindle is one. I think, yes, the break-even is really enticing, but I think given how short-term he could be in terms of making money, don't think from now he's an option. You know, someone like Josh Schuster is probably more of an option. There was a couple of questions coming in earlier in the stream about Schuster. Clone Commander saying Schuster over Trindle. It was quite one of the earlier questions this week, earlier questions in the stream from Sticky Nicky saying, is Schuster a must-have or must-trade-in? Definitely not. You know, this is only playing his first game. I think we've got enough time to be able to see and wait how Schuster performs. I think there's plenty of other options who are probably more important to be prioritizing than Schuster this week. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Trindle. Making our way down, Preston. So to be honest, I don't really probably need to speak too much more about Preston in the second or forward section that I've got later. I'm lucky that I've got him. You know, he's been named to start as well today in TLT, played big minutes last week, I think 76 minutes. So average minutes, I think, is about 64, average of 55. That did include a try, but his base average was about 55. So I think he's got a pretty solid base average for 200K, big raps on him as well from the Bulldogs. I think there's a good chance that he keeps that spot. So yeah, I think Preston is someone that if you have got an issue in your second or a forward, maybe if you've got like an Egan Butcher, for example, not a must sell, but probably someone that is worth maybe looking to downgrade to make some money. You know, Egan Butcher down to Preston looks like a pretty straightforward move. If a bit harder if you've got someone like Jackson Ford down to Preston. I can see the appeal, but I imagine if you brought in Ford last week, I'd maybe just keep him despite him being out for 1 week. But I think if you've got any issues in your second or forward and you want to go for a cheapie, he's probably the number one target, I'd say, in your second or forward. Must have is a bit strong, but I think he's a very, very good cheapie to go for this week. Matt is saying quickly on Trindle, 1-2 price rises is good enough for me regarding Trindle. For others, prices to drop, risk it for the biscuit. The thing, like, I get it, like, you know, he will make a lot of money with that really low break even. It's just the fact that, yes, you'll make money, but you are kind of burning trades as well. For me, there's this kind of old stigma of, like, you know, trade in Supercoach, you should be trying to get at least 100K out of it if it's a money trade. If you think that the player you're bringing in is going to make at least 100K, then it's normally kind of a rough guide just to say, yeah, go for it. Trindle might not make 100K if he's only getting one price rise. He might make like 70K, 80K, but 20-30K off. So it just might not quite be there. So I'm personally probably not going to go there. Bryce Cartwright, we'll probably talk a bit about him a little bit more in the second or forward section. Really like him as a cheapie. It's hard to bring him in, I think, this week. Like, I'd probably prioritize Preston over him just because I think Cartwright's kind of longer-term security. I'm a little bit unsure. It's 50-50 between him and Dury. The talk that I've kind of read is that Dury is first choice for that right edge spot. If it turns out that it's actually Cartwright instead, then, you know, if you're an owner, you've done really well because he's had a really good start, really healthy average and good work rate as well from him. But yeah, I think with Cartwright, it feels hard to go for him if you don't have a Preston. If you had Preston already and you want to make a downgrade, I think it's fine to go with Cartwright because you're probably still going to have him until about round five. It's just a bit of uncertainty with Madison coming back next week, potentially. That could be one thing that does put me off as well. Okay, so lots of questions coming in as well. So guys, I like keep the questions coming in, but like Will Shaw, for example, you know, you've got very specific team questions. I'm going to try to tackle those, I think, more towards the end of the stream in a kind of specific Q&A section. But hopefully as we go through the stream, that does answer a lot of your questions. Jermaine Asako, I'll speak about him a little bit more. Same with Wade Egan, Karaz, because I'm covering them in a bit more detail later on, but obviously very low break evens. A couple of front forwards here, and Mark Nichols and Shaq Mitchell. I'm not so keen now on Shaq Mitchell after seeing the team list for the Rabbitohs. So Tevita Tola has been named. Ham Sele, I think, is on the bench. I think Shaq Mitchell's done really well the last couple of weeks because they had a lot of middles out. He's got now got kind of, yeah, Tevita Tola, Tom Burgess, Mwali, Ham Sele, kind of taking a few more minutes, I think. Jai Arrow is probably going to come back sooner rather than later as well. I also just feel like front row forward isn't a spot that's going to have such high upside in terms of price rises compared to elsewhere in your team. So for me, Shaq Mitchell is probably a decent buy, but it feels short term. And just like Pele to Shaq Mitchell, for example, I feel like there are more important, better trades that you could do both for money making, but also just for points as well. And someone like Shaq Mitchell, if you're not going to be in your 17, it's probably not a trade that you need to absolutely do. Banks says, is Kepi a sell? See, I don't have Kepi. I'm not really covering Kepi actually during the stream, but he's probably someone I would just look to hold. He's only played the one game. Yes, he's been named on the bench, but if the minutes aren't, he was named on the bench in round one as well, remember. So if his minutes are the same and his output's about the same, he's probably not a must sell. Who else we got in the list here? Oh yeah, so Mark Nichols has had a really good start as well for the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins in general have just been amazing, haven't they? So looking at Nichols' stats, so 52 in base week one, 55 in week two. So really pretty solid numbers at 370K. He's just going to be meat and potatoes more or less. So I think you just kind of have to, you know, if he gets in mid-50s, that's probably fine for his price. He'd be maybe a stepping stone to, you know, another gun front row forward. But only being available at front row forward isn't ideal. And I think you're going to be, you know, if you're trading up, say, from like a Pele to him, that's like 100 and something K, which I feel like you can maybe do in a higher upside position. So whilst he should make money, he's probably going to be a solid mid-ranger. Don't see enough upside or price rise out of him to maybe justify him. Eli Katoa, I'll speak a bit more about the second or forward video, but long story short, I really want Eli Katoa. It looked awesome. Isaiah Katoa, not actually going to speak about him that much throughout the rest of the video, but if you're someone who like owns Tanner Boyd, say in your halfback spot, and you're looking to free up funds, don't mind going Tanner Boyd down to someone like Katoa. Dolphins have got a few good games coming up. He's even a potential play this week away to the Newcastle Knights, who have got a lot of players out this week, like Ponga, Jaden Brayley, no Adam Elliott as well, no Jacob Saifidi. So yeah, Dolphins could have another win and be 3-0 to begin the season. Terrell Sloan only played the one game, so probably not going to be an immediate buy this week. Oichikamanu just with a negative break even. I imagine most people already own him. And Cheekam. So we'll talk a little bit about Michael Cheekam. So there's a question actually from, this just came up very recently. What is it? Sorry, I missed it. Someone mentioned about something about boosting. Yeah, here we go. Chris All says, worth boosting to go Remus Smith to Cheekam. Now, Cheekam's a tough one because he's played the last two games, 80 minutes on the edge, and he's looked pretty solid. And the good thing about him is he's dual, so you can get him in both second row forward and center wing. Looking at his stats in those 80-minute games, base of 46 and 40, which at his price tag, he'll make a little bit of coin. He's got that handy dual flexibility. He doesn't scream like a must-buy to me this week, just because I think a bit of uncertainty with his role. You know, Jai Arrow could come back and play on the edge. I feel like Jai Arrow will, though, play middle when he comes back, given also the issues that the Rabbitohs have. So if I was to guess, I would say Cheekam would continue to play the edge role, 80 minutes. But if he's kind of bumping out like low 40s, he's not going to be someone who's going to hurt you. And just to your specific question, sorry if I missed your name, but you were talking about Remus Smith to Cheekam. Yeah, look, to be fair, I was never too keen on Remus Smith in the first place. So I think he's someone that you could sell because I think he's also got a, not a high break even, but he's got like a decent break even. Yeah, he's got a break even of 29, so he's not a must sell in terms of price rises, and I don't think Cheekham is big enough of a purchase. Now, let's say, for example, you had the duels to go Reema Smith to Preston, I'd say, yep, do it. Maybe a Cartwright, because Cartwright does have some upside, I'd probably be like, yep, okay, as a short-term play. But Cheekham feels a bit kind of, mid-40s is fine. Could be a play in your center wing most weeks, but doesn't scream must-buy. So that's kind of my initial thoughts, I guess, on a lot of these kind of players who've got those really low break-evens. We'll touch on a few of the more popular ones as we go. Yep, and in terms of the actual kind of the higher break-even players, a few of these guys are kind of immediate, like pretty easy sells if you own. Drinkwater suspended for 3 weeks. Anyone who owns Drinkwater, I think Drinkwater to Reece Walsh is going to be quite a popular trade this week. We'll definitely talk about the gorgeous Reece Walsh in the stream. Cleary, I've got a section on, so I'll talk about him a little bit later. Same with Teddy. There's a few guys who I think, Hudson Young, Kikau, Papali'i, probably not too popular. Papali'i's out for this week. So yeah, those are guys who I'd be like, yep, happy to move on if you did start with them and you want to go to a different gun. Now, Burton is an interesting one. There were a couple of questions about Matt Burton. Someone asked me on Twitter, is Matt Burton still a sell despite, you know, them versing the Tigers this week and, you know, the Bulldogs looking much better in round two? I would personally still sell Matt Burton. Like, you know, Adam Dewey's not too much more expensive, and Dewey's got an 89 and like 56 in a really poor Tigers team when he didn't do a whole lot. He's just got a much more super coach friendly game, I think, than Burton does. So I think we also saw that they weren't as reliant on that left side attack, the Bulldogs. They could go down their right side as well. So I know Burton's got the good matchup this week, but just that real high break even, 123. He can get that against the Tigers, so it's not an easy sell, but I would probably make a switch to Dewey if you didn't own. If you already own Dewey and you went with the double up, if you don't own Isaiah Katoa, again, I think he's probably someone who I would look to maybe bring in just to make a bit of coin, and Katoa's got that dual flexibility as well. Burton down to Katoa, that's 300k in your back pocket. You know, that's like a, what's that? That's like a Tommy Tillau to like a Jacob Carouse, for example. So it's a kind of trade that, like, I think down to Katoa I would probably like doing. If you have the Katoa-Burton combo, then probably Dewey, maybe a punt on someone like Ezra Mann. Ryan says, drop Cleary, take the cash. Ben Hunt shaping, good value in two games. Now, look, I haven't actually spoken about, I haven't got Ben Hunt in my notes for the halfback section, but, I mean, Dragons do have a decent draw, but I've never loved Ben Hunt supercoach-wise. I mean, he had a good year in 2021, but that was the inflated year of scoring where he averaged 67, 51 in 2020, 56 in 2022. He just has no base stats, which I hate. Like, 12 in base last week. He needs to get the attacker stats. And if Dragons have a poor game, then he's just not going to score well. But I have got some thoughts on Cleary, which I'll share a little bit later. Cobbo's a tough one. He's got this high break-even. I know a few people do own Cobbo. They've got the really good draw coming up, but, you know, I owned Cobbo last year. He was frustrating. Even in good games, he would sometimes not do so much. So, you know, Cobbo to Carouse is probably a move I'd be like, yeah, I don't mind it. A few of these other guys I think aren't as highly owned, like Josh Curran, for example, Jaden Brayley, Mulatalo. There was a question actually about Mulatalo that I didn't notice, which was, from Clone Commander. It says, bring Mulatalo into your teams once his price drops. For sure, he's got a really high break even. Round 6, they have a bye, so maybe round 7 is Mulatalo, someone that you can target. Won't play State of Origin as well, so he might be a good pickup, I think, at that point. So definitely one that we'll keep an eye on, but, you know, if you own him, I'd probably look to move on as well, down to maybe a Carraz. Frizzell, Tessie New, Jaden Campbell, not too popular. And Latrell's on this list here as well with 121 break even, but to be honest, if you own Latrell, I don't think you're considering selling, in my opinion. Like, I think him and Turbo probably are the two best fullbacks right now to be owning. Number 3, probably still Teddy, and then number 4, probably Walsh. But we'll talk about fullbacks a bit more later. All right, so I think we'll get into more kind of specific player stuff now. We've already been 20 minutes in, that flew by. So hookers. So I know a lot of people, obviously, you know, Brandon Smith, most traded out player. Tanner Boyd, I think, is frustrating a lot of people. I'm kind of happy I didn't start with Tanner Boyd. You know, my fear was obviously that, you know, if he didn't do so well the first two rounds, he's running into the Melbourne Storm, Cowboys, and then a bye. So I'm kind of lucky that I have avoided that, which is nice. If you own Cheese and Tanner Boyd at hooker, I'd probably sell Cheese first. I know Cheese has been named, but he's got a higher break-even of 90 and he's got the bye next week as well. And I think the issue with Cheese is that the injury he picked up is apparently like a lower back and a rib issue the last couple of weeks. Ribs are really bad for Supercoach performance in terms of point scoring. This is something that NRL physio always mentions. So to me, Cheese like feels like an easy sell. Now, the question, I guess, is who do you sell to, right? So Max has no love for Robson. I actually had Robson in this table, but then I figured most people are going to be looking to either upgrading all the way to Harry Grant, maybe to Reid Marnie, and then to Wade Egan. They're the popular buys. Reece Robson does have the good draw, but he's not quite got the attacking stats, I think. At least he didn't last week from memory. Like we're looking at 74 the week before with attacking stats, 45 early the week just gone. And he's got a 76 break even. So I think there is a chance that he goes down in price. So it's hard to look at Robson and as a potential stepping stone to someone like Harry Grant. I think you probably just look to try to get to Harry Grant as fast as you can, in my opinion, which is where someone like a Wade Egan helps, because he's got a really low break even of minus 44. Reid Marnie has got a pretty low break even as well of zero. So Steezers are saying, what if you own Grant and Boyd? I'm kind of in a similar position, right? Like, I've got Harry Grant and Brennan Smith as hooker. So like, you don't have to sell your second hooker, to be honest, because you've just got Harry Grant that you can plug in there. It only really depends if you are relying on that second hooker spot as a reserve this week. Now, I think I can afford to not play Brandon Smith and keep him there, but I still feel like I want to move him on just because he's got that high break even. And if I think I'm going to move him on next week anyway when he's going to buy, may as well do it this week and just avoid the price drop. So yeah, Rosa, you mentioned a similar question here, right? Could you run with just Grant and sell Cheese next week? You definitely could. And to be honest, if I'm being totally honest, my preference is actually just to go to Sonny Luke, because Sonny Luke has only played the two games so far. He's got a minus 20 break even. Because I've got Harry Grant already locked in there, I kind of don't think I need to have that second hooker spot as a playing option. So part of me is thinking, can I already just go straight down to Sonny Luke? I know he's got a bye this week, but if I don't need to actually play that person, can I just afford to have, you know, go a week early? Panthers coming off a bye, maybe the team is energized, maybe the attack starts clicking, and maybe Sonny Luke looks really good. So I don't mind going with Sonny Luke a week early if you're not really too sure about one of Reid Marnie or Wade Egan. And I'm kind of in that boat at this stage. There's a good chance that I do look to go for one of Egan or Reid Marnie. Just on Marnie and Egan, I prefer Reid Marnie out of the two. I know he's a little bit more expensive and he hasn't got as low of a break even, but Reid Marnie has the potential to be a potential keeper. He had a really good season, not last year, but the year before. His role in the Bulldogs looks like he's more attacking. Like, if you look at those numbers, he's got the worst base points PPM of these four options here, but he's still averaging 82.5. So he's got a lot of attacking stats the last 2 weeks. It's just whether you think that that's sustainable. Probably not to this level, but you know, if he's going to base about 50 each week in base and power, chuck in one line break assist or maybe a try assist each week, you're looking at a kind of a 60 to 65. That's kind of where I think Reid Marnie could end up, which I think is, you know, potentially a keeper. So whereas Wade Egan, the minutes have been a little bit less certain. You know, Reid Marnie's played 80 minutes both week and he's locked in for an 80-minute role. Whereas Wade Egan is kind of like, I think he played something like 60-something minutes last week. It was a little bit inconsistent. Let me have a quick look at it here. Yeah, so he played 66 minutes in week one and then 59 the week before. Now, his PPM was pretty good, 44 base and then 47 base. So his base PPM is decent. It's just whether you think those attacking stats are going to continue. I just don't love that he's not playing the full 80, whereas Reid Marnie is locked in for that. So, yeah, part of me is thinking that if I want to make money this week, because now with the Nico Hines news as well in round, you know, potentially coming back next week, Hines has got the Dragons next week. He could be just a prime captaincy option. So I'm partly thinking, can I just go Smith down to Sonny Luke, freeze up like 200K, just have that in the bank ready to go. Sam Walker's got the bye next week. I could just go Sam Walker straight to Nico Hines with one other trade and be cheering. Whereas if I go for someone like Reid Marnie, it kind of stops you from doing that. So yeah, I'm kind of still on the fence about it. Between Marnie and Wade Egan, I do prefer Reid Marnie. If you're freeing up money, say if you're doing that Teddy to Walsh trade, and you can go Smith to Harry Grant, I just don't even overthink it, in my opinion. If you can get to Grant without, like, of that whole Teddy Cleary combination thing, I would rather sell Tedesco than Cleary. And if you sell Teddy for Walsh and you've got enough in the kitty to go Smith to Grant, I'd say that's fair enough. I would probably do that. So just looking at a few questions here. So So Max has noted, have Cheese as backup hooker to Grant, so he'll go Marnie and play double gun hooker all year. Yeah, I think that's definitely viable. You know, you could go Smith to Marnie this year, and you might not even have to touch your hookers again for the rest of the year in terms of just making trades and stuff. So that could be an option. That's something I'm thinking about as well. You make a good point, Chris Hall, actually, saying that I think your second hooker needs to be a playing option. What if Harry cops a HIA? Well, I guess, look, if he cops a HIA, like your playing option is not going to help. But I see what you're saying, in that, you know, any week that Grant is not playing, you can plug in a pretty reliable backup hooker. So that's probably a good point that makes me think, yeah, maybe Reed Marnie is actually just a much more safe option. Bulldogs don't have a bye for quite a while as well, actually. I think they're like round 14 or something. So he's a good long-term option all the way till State of Origin as well. The thing with Sonny Luke is that after this week, he's done with his bye, so it's kind of a similar prospect. So I don't mind. I'd probably say Reed Marnie, Wade Egan, but if you want to go for that cash grab, I don't hate going Sonny Luke a week early, but it doesn't feel great. You know, anything could happen. He could be at training and he could get injured at training, and all of a sudden you've traded him in and he's just sitting there for you. So I do see that risk. So probably thinking it out loud, yeah, I think Reed Marnie is probably the go. More safer minutes, I think. Now, I think one of the questions was something about if you had Brandon Smith at hooker and you had Tanner Boyd at half. That's a little bit different, obviously, because, you know, I assume you're going to have a Cleary-Tanner Boyd combination. You're going to have to play Tanner Boyd this week, which is not great against Melbourne. They are playing at home. I do think that Melbourne team list, if it runs out as it is named, is quite a decent team. Like, they've got Justin Ollam back, Xavier Coates, Tui Kamakamika is a big in for them as well. Tarek Sims is on the bench. So already their forward pack looks a little bit stronger. So that game could be even tougher for the Titans. And, I mean, geez, based on how the Storm played last week, you could expect the rocket up there, proverbial, from bellyache, right? So it could be a bad week for Tanner Boyd. The question is, if he's at your halfback, who do you move to, right? Like, you could maybe go to Katoa if you don't own Katoa, but outside of that, in terms of around the same price, there's not really too many people. I think he might, if you've got Tanner Boyd at your half, he might just be a reluctant hold, because I think Cheese is probably a bigger priority sell this week. So Ryan, I can see your question about that as well. Yeah, with Cleary's bye, it is a tough one for owners who have Cleary and the Tanner Boyd combo. I'd maybe just stick it out with Tanner Boyd this week. I mean, the break even of 52, it's not insanely high. He will lose money, but he might not lose a ton of money. He is still goal kicking. Titans can attack. We saw that the Storm can concede points as well. So he did have a really poor game last week, Tanner Boyd. Whereas I think, you know, this week, if he goes 40, 45, he's not going to lose that much money. And 40, 45, you'll cop it, I guess, as a play in your 17, if I'm being honest. So it doesn't feel like he's a must sell. But if you've got that Cheese, and if you've got that Cheese Tanner Boyd combo, yeah, I'd probably sell Cheese first, because I think Cheese got the higher break even. He's got the buy earlier on as well. Yeah, so what Max is saying, so is Tanner Cheese can be sorted with the dual half, sell Cheese, move Tanner up and play perhaps Katoa against the depleted Knights. Yeah, definitely a strategy that can also work. Alrighty, so I think we've probably covered off the dummy halves there. Now we'll start talking a little bit about centres. So a few popular centres this week in Karaz, Tabo Fadeau, Jermaine Asako, and a couple of players who I'm personally thinking about maybe moving on in Isaac Thompson and Brian To'o. I can see a question in the chat from Sticky Nicky as well, saying, is Meany a hold, or would you downgrade to someone like Karaz to make some cash? Now, if you're someone who owns Nick Meany, you know, he did pretty badly last week in terms of score. I'm just going to have a quick look at it here. I'm just going to bring it up. It was Nick Meany. Where are you? Why can't I find him? My list here. There he is. Sorry, that took longer than I thought. Yeah, only 38 points last week, which is not bad. But yeah, he's got a higher break even, I think, in the 70s. Yeah, look, if I owned Nick Meany, I'd probably sell for Karaz. Now, the Titans game is a decent game, but I do really like the look of Karaz. You know, I think if you've kind of seen the stats that he did from the last 2 weeks, they're pretty insane in terms of actual work rate. So we're looking at a average base of 39 in those two games, 31 in week one, 46 in just pure base last week. if you start looking at the base and power, which is including offloads, tackle breaks, his base power averages 70 over the last 2 weeks. We did see glimpses of this last season as well when he was a very popular cheapie. He did have a pretty poor back end of the season, but I do think that potentially he was carrying some kind of niggle, is something that I've heard. He looks fully fit, really good base. So someone like To'o to Karaz is something I've also considered. I don't love selling To'o because you can see the Panthers' draw is not bad, right? You know, they've got the bye this week, but then it's Parramatta who concede points. Canberra don't look great. Manly can still maybe concede points. Then it's Newcastle. So selling someone like To'o is not sitting completely right with me. But someone like Meany, I feel like draw's good, but yeah, I think I'd still be okay moving on to someone like Karaz, because the thing is, he's got a really low break even as well. And that 145 is going to be in his rolling average for longer too. So really like Karaz, if you're looking to upgrade a center wing like Thompson, maybe a Tommy Talau. You know, Tommy Talau is not playing this week, so he feels like one that's easy to move on as well. If you've got the cash and you can move up to Karaz, I do like that as a potential trade-in. Someone, Ryan, is saying, is Val Holmes a sell? So I don't personally think Val Holmes is a sell. Named at center, which is not maybe great for Supercoach in the sense that compared to what he could have been done playing at fullback, but he's been a gun playing center wing, still goal kicking, and now is when the Cowboys have their really good run of games. So I would personally think if you've got Val, you've bought him in round one for these games that he's got coming up. So he doesn't feel like a sell to me, personally. So yeah, I really, really do like Karaz. The stats are crazy. I really just like the fact that he's got the West Tigers and the Warriors in the next two games as well. Good chance as well that he goes, like, gets another 80-point game this week, maybe another 60 the week after. Like, with Karaz, I don't really see too much downside. Like, he'll make enough money, I guess, with his two good games coming up, that even if he stinks it up after that, he's probably gone up to, like, 700-ish K. He could just be a straight swap to, like, Ruben Garrick, for example, or he could just have the potential to be a keeper. So I think he's going to guarantee you to make money. It could be a nice stepping stone to Garrick. So for me, with those really two nice games coming up, I'm okay with potentially doing To'o down to Karaz. You know, if I look at Karaz's next two versus To'o's next two, I'd rather have Karaz. After that, if I want to go back to To'o, yes, it's a waste of a couple of trades, but I would have made some money along the way. So, like, I think trading in Karaz, I'll earn at least 100K, and I might potentially get 120, 150 plus points out of it as well. So I think for most centers, if you're on the fence, I don't mind moving down to Karaz. Val's probably a bit of an exception. If you own Garrick, he's probably not someone I would sell either, but I feel like all others are potential candidates to move down to him. Now, in terms of the cheaper options, so like Taboi Fadou, Asako, I'm personally still not super keen on Asako because, you know, that round one game was great, but round two, obviously not as good. His base stat average is not as high as someone like the Hammer. Now, the thing with the Hammer as well is those base stats of 35 that he's got over the last 2 weeks is a bit of an outlier to what he's done from last season or two. So his base stats are definitely up, which is appealing. He does feel like a low-risk trade-in. The break-even is so low at minus 60. Do like the Dolphins' next couple of games. So Newcastle away with their injuries looks really good on paper. Broncos at home is probably not as easy now as what we originally thought. But then he's got the Dragons at home as well. Then his Cowboys, another Queensland derby, you know, playing his old team as well. I think there is potential for him to keep racking up, you know, maybe 50, 60. If he averages 50 from here on in, he's probably still going to make you, I'd say, close to 100K. And he could just be someone that you then downgrade. And I think with the base stats being up at about 35, he could be someone that you can plug in maybe as a good third or fourth center wing. So, like, one thing I'm potentially considering this week is Isaac Thompson to Hamiso. Now, Thompson, the draw is still not that easy for the Rabbitohs. His base numbers are fine at 25, but Hammers is higher up. And I do prefer the Dolphins' next few games compared to Thompson. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to bring in Taboi Fadou as well, purely as a money-making exercise. I don't have the same confidence in him as like a Karaz that he'll become a keeper. But I do think that he's got enough potential for money-making. So he's not someone I'm absolutely locked in on, but I do think that, you know, if you're like a Tommy Talau owner, easy swap, in my opinion, to Taboi Fadou. If you're a Nickel Klukstad owner, he's out this week, but if you don't mind selling Klukstad, I think Klukstad out for Taboi Fadou as well feels okay too. you can capitalize on that initial price rise. It does feel like this week is the week that you need to go for the hammer. After that first price rise, you know, the break even will kind of get a little bit higher. Then I probably don't think he's worth it. And to me, Osako is not quite worth it. I think I'd rather just go hammer. He's a little bit cheaper as well. So see if there's any other questions here. So QXYS says, Latrell Mitchell and Alex Johnston, keep or sell? 100% I'm keeping Latrell Mitchell. Like, he's not really a consideration for me as a sell. Alex Johnston maybe down to Carras to make some money. I don't mind that so much. Alex Johnston is still going to be solid, but I think you maybe can just take the potential higher upside of Carras over the next 2 weeks. Matt says, Garrick versus the Hammer. Garrick scored 98 points in the last 6 games. Is that an average that he's got in the last 6 games? Because I know he did really well in week one. I mean, we're talking very different price points here, right? Like, Garrick is like 740K. Hammer is like 300K or 400K cheaper, actually. Part of the reason I don't mind going early on some of these cheapies this week is that Garrick, I think, is going to be a real enticing option. And so I think freeing up money potentially to go for someone like Garrick is going to be appealing. One of the reasons why I'm still not completely locked in on maybe selling To'o is that maybe he's someone I have as a placeholder for Garrick, but I'm kind of just thinking maybe I just play what's in front of me and just move him to Carras this week. Okie dokie. So conscious it's already been 37 minutes, so we'll keep working through. There's so many sections still to go. It's going to be a big, big stream, but we'll talk about the fullbacks now. I think a lot of questions I've seen just coming in about fullbacks. So there was a question from Fowler. I think a good option could be Teddy down to Walsh next week to fund Walker to Hines. Thoughts? Fowler, you've kind of read my mind in what I was just about to say. Teddy to Reece Walsh is really, really popular this week, and I can understand it. Like, Teddy scored 55 last week. Walsh had 105 and looked amazing. Like, he looks so good. He looks good anyway, but he performance-wise looked really good as well on the field. I'm in the camp of actually not doing the Teddy to Walsh trade this week. My thinking is, with now that news of Nico Hines potentially being back next week, to me, Walsh is not going to change price this week. If he goes out and gets another 100-plus against the Dragons, and then he's got the Dolphins away, West Tigers at home, Raiders at home, Titans away, Parramatta away, if I see he's gone 100-plus, Teddy's not done well again, and Teddy's on the bye, I'll make that move, probably. So it's one of those things where, like, I am conscious that there's a good chance that I'll do that Teddy to Walsh move next week, but I don't want to go early on it just because I think I can afford to not have to do it this week, because it's not like I need to go Teddy to Walsh this week to fund another move in the same week. I feel like I can do that move next week, even if Teddy, Teddy's like 830K. He might lose 40-50K. Maybe I sell him for 780, but Reece Walsh is still like mid 500s or something. Like, I don't even know if he's that expensive. I might have a quick check of his price. Let's have a look. See. He's 550K. So even if Teddy goes down to like 780 and loses 50K, you're still making like 230K out of that trade. So you're still making decent money. Teddy could still do well this week. I know he's got a high break even of 135. And just to maybe quickly explain what I've got on the slide here. So these numbers here are the historical average of these players against the teams that they've got coming up. So I know that doesn't always mean much when you're trying to predict future points, but, looking at this, Reece Walsh's numbers, remember, this is when he was in a Warriors team, which is probably wasn't as good as what this current Broncos team is, at least for the first 2 weeks. So if you look at those numbers, Teddy against the upcoming opponents is assumed to get 348 points if you factor in his bye as well, whereas Reece Walsh will get 325. You're only looking at a 20-point difference there, but I think we're probably all expecting that Reece Walsh will go better than that, right? So there's a good chance that over the next 6 weeks, Walsh will match, if not outscore, Teddy. So I don't think it's a bad move. For people who are doing it this week, if they're looking at making a big upgrade elsewhere and he's the best way of making money, I think I'm okay with it. I would rather sell Teddy than Cleary, put it that way. For me, Cleary just feels like he's scary not owning. And I think we've seen as well the last few weeks, teams that come off the bye have done really well. So I'm kind of thinking Manly going to do well this week. Dragons look pretty good, being able to get an extra week of rest. Who had the bye week one? That was a Dragon, sorry. So, okay, small sample size, put it that way. But like, I heard an interview with Nathan Cleary where he was talking about how the Panthers are going down to Kiama for like a little camp and stuff. I kind of just feel like, I actually watched the I know I'm going on a tangent about Nathan Cleary now, but I watched the All The Way documentary, which I really recommend, by the way. It's a really good documentary on Nine now. You kind of just get an insight into how the Panthers' mentality is. And knowing that they're going away for like a camp and coming back, I feel like they're going to come back and be really good. Parramatta are conceding points as well. So I'm more scared selling Cleary than I am Teddy, especially knowing that they've got this week off now, which is another reason why, going back to that previous section, I'm kind of interested in still going to Sonny Luke this week. But yeah, in terms of the Teddy to Walsh move, I think it's a good move. It's definitely one that I'm open to doing next week as well, especially if Teddy goes low again this week and Walsh killed it again. So yeah, definitely a move that I'm on board with. Don't think it's a must for this week, but I definitely do prefer selling Teddy over Cleary. There was a couple of questions I've just pulled from Twitter, which I've put on the screen as well. We've covered the Teddy to Walsh question. The other one was someone who owns Tedesco and Latrell, so they don't own Trbojevic, and they're getting a bit of FOMO. Yeah, personally, if I didn't have Turbo, I'd probably sell Tedesco to get to Turbo, because I think Turbo, with a week off, Parramatta conceding points, I'm looking at round 5 against Newcastle at home. Turbo could 100% be a captain option. Yeah, for me, Turbo feels like one of the two best fullbacks to own, and probably Latrell is with him. So, like, people who are asking about Latrell sell earlier, don't think so. Like, even if you look at Latrell's predicted points based on just historical average against his upcoming opponents, it's a tough draw, but he's still, based on those historical averages, assuming to outscore Tedesco. It's only Turbo who's going to outscore Latrell based on those averages. So, for me, that guy who was thinking about it, yeah, I'd probably sell Tedesco to Turbo. And if you didn't own, like, I think a couple of people were also asking about, would you buy Reece Walsh over Turbo? Definitely not. I'd buy Turbo first and then Reece Walsh after. Steezer says, sorry, but Talau to Hammer or Karaz? Worried about putting so much money into center wing early. If you're going 50-50 between the two, it sounds like you've already got a bit of money in your center wing, Steezer, so maybe I'd go Hammer in that case. The thing I like about Karaz is that he's got potential to be a keeper. Dylan says, is it better to bring in Hammer and Karaz or Karaz and Haas? Probably Hammer and Karaz, I think. Maybe focus on the money at this point. Okay, so yeah, that's my kind of take, I guess, on the whole fullback debate. I've added Will Kennedy here in case people were thinking about him, but he's got a buy in round 6, and I do think that the other four that I've got here are all better options, in my opinion, at fullback. Incentia says, I'm also going to the game at Brookvale, and the last time I watched us play Manly, they were up 36-0 at halftime, and I went home. Okay, so sounds like, Incentia, you're a Parramatta fan. That doesn't sound very good. Look, if that's going to happen again, then yeah, you want to own Turbo this week for sure. Alrighty, so I've kind of already started talking about the whole Cleary thing, so this section kind of just builds a bit on that, but my general feeling is that I don't love selling Cleary. This question from Isaac says, would you sell Cleary to go to Grant? I would if you've got a plan to be able to get back to Cleary. Like, for example, if you're a Cleary and Sam Walker owner like me, you could do a bit of a roulette where you go Cleary out to Grant via Tanner Boyd. And then next week, if you've got another boost that you can use, go Walker when he's got the buy back to Cleary. And you'd be paying a little bit cheaper because Walker's probably going to go up in price. And Cleary next week won't go down in price, but Walker will go up a little bit in price. So don't mind that particular switch, but only if you have a plan, I think, to get back to Cleary. Now, a few questions. I spoke a little bit about Braden Trindle earlier in the stream. I'm seeing a few questions about him coming up. So Pablo Escobar, great username, he's saying, is trading Cleary to Trindle and then trading him to Hines a good move? I can kind of get on board with that particular strategy because you're only using one extra trade of going to Trindle to make some money to then go to Nico Hines. I just don't know if there's going to be enough cash generated from Trindle's one price rise to make it worthwhile. Kind of said it at the beginning of the video. I think if you are thinking about trades, you should be trying to look at making about 100K from a trade. I just don't know if Trindle's quite going to make that much. So yeah, I'm not totally sold, I think, on that strategy. Someone's asked about Cam Murray to Toe Harris. No, SE Warrior, I think that's too early to do that. I think Murray, you won poor game, but look, he scored 129 against the Roosters. last season. So, yeah, don't think you need to be selling Murray. Yeah, so Pablo Escobar, just an excuse to say that username again. Don't think I'd be doing that particular strategy. The reason I'm also more fine to sell Tedesco to Reece Walsh, I think there are just better options at fullback. At halfback, I just don't think the quality of options are as good. You know, Cherry Evans could be good, but the draw for Manly is not fantastic. Like, Turbo's a bit of an exception, in my opinion. Jerome Hughes looked good last week. Sorry, that Melbourne draw is completely wrong. Apologies for that. That's not actually their draw. Yeah, so ignore that. I'll fix that later. Well, I'll find for you what the draw is for the Storm. Actually, I'll fix it in there soon. But he's got the Titans this week, so it's a pretty decent matchup. Let me bring this up for you. Apologies. I knew there was going to be at least one mistake. There always is. Always is. Now, that's going to look really small, but I don't have time to fix it. But basically, it's the Titans, Tigers, Rabbitohs, Roosters, Manly, and Warriors for the Storm. So it's not a bad set of games for Jerome Hughes. So he's probably the one who I'd go for because of the draw. Sam Walker, I think you've kind of somewhat missed the boat now. He's got that bye round four. Wazza says Sean Johnson. So I know Sean Johnson has looked good. And to be fair, the Warriors have looked better. I just don't love the draw for them. So I'm looking at their draw. They've got the Cowboys away, Bulldogs at home, Sharks away, Newcastle away, Cowboys at home, and then Melbourne away. So you've got Bulldogs and Knights in there, but then the other games are all like two games against the Cowboys, once against the Sharks, one against Melbourne. Like, for me, if you're going a bit more pottish and SJ, I'd rather just maybe take the better draw in someone like Jerome Hughes, for example. So I know he's goal kicking, but don't love going SJ. Yeah, he does have the second highest halfback average, but I think we can see that, like, so much stuff changes week on week, especially earlier in the season as well. But yeah, so for me, like, the Cleary out to Trindle can work from a money perspective, but it's always dangerous as well, booking in transfers and trades and stuff, especially in the early rounds when there's still so many unknowns. We're seeing more and more, like, these HIAs and things like that crop up as well. So those kind of things can just come up out of nowhere. So that's just another thing I'd be wary of. I think if you do it and Hines has a setback and you get Trindle for two price rises, I think you probably, like, if we get updated information that Hines is not back next week, but it's round five, and you get two price rises out of Trindle, I think at that point it's just about worth it. For the 1 week, it feels a little bit more difficult to kind of give my stamp of approval on, I guess. Steezers, I saw you had a question about Will Kennedy. If you're going to pod, no, I think I would just go Reece Walsh. The fact that he doesn't have a bye coming up, and I think his draw is better. Both are kind of similar in that they need the attacking stats, but I think Broncos are just playing better than the Sharks at this point. So I'd probably not just try to be too cute and go to the pod. I'd probably just go with Reece Walsh. Matt says, I'm only going Trindle because I got Ponga, so cash otherwise I'd also avoid. That's fair enough. If you're a Ponga owner, then I can understand maybe a little bit more wanting to go for that initial price rise of Trindle and to make a little bit of money. You could maybe consider someone like Ezra Mam at 5'8". He was probably my number two recommendation, I think, last week for 5'8". But, you know, because then you can capitalize on the Broncos draw. But, you know, he's also not perfect. He might just be a mid-50s averaging guy. All right, so there's a few more things coming up. I'm seeing a couple of questions on second row forwards. Like, Nathan says, Egan Butcher to Tohu. Like that, Nathan. I really like Tohu as a buy this week. Unfortunately, I probably can't get him this week. But yeah, good upgrade. I think Egan Butcher is not a must sell, but looking at his break even of 59, looking at some of these other options here, like Eli Katoa, like, for me, Egan Butcher, if I owned Egan Butcher, I'd probably be selling to Eli Katoa. Now, my mid-range second row forward is Murata Niokure, who's got a low break-even of 5 and did well last week and had really good base stats. So I'm not moving off Murata Niokure at this stage. So I can't probably quite get to Eli Katoa at this point. But if you're someone who owns Egan Butcher, I think that's a move I would be doing, unless obviously you've got a lot of cash and you can go all the way up to Tohu. Tom Gilbert, if you own, great. He scored a try last week. I think Wilton owners are fine, but he doesn't scream buy at this stage. Like, I think if you're selling Egan Butcher, I think you'd probably just go down to Katoa and get the price rises out of him and the good draw that the Storm have, as we talked about with Jerome Hughes. apart from that, in the mid-range second or forward area, you know, some of these guys like CHN, Fatala Mariner, I think Josh King, again, I know he's got a negative break even. I wouldn't be going there now, especially when it looks like they've got a few more middles coming back in Tarek Sims and Tui Kamikamika. Especially Tui, I think he did affect King's minutes at last season when he was when they both were playing together. Trent Liero, I've actually seen this question on Twitter as well. Like, would you go Trent Liero to Eli Katoa? It feels sideways, but I think the fact that, you know, Katoa's got the upside, negative break even, is probably a move I'd be okay doing. It's not a must by any chance. It's definitely sounds a bit more luxury, but it's one that I'd be tempted to do as well, I think, if you owned Trent Liero. Jackson Ford, you know, unfortunately had the HIA and he's out this week. I think if you've got him, I'd maybe just wait another week, and then eventually that four is going to drop out of his rolling average. And yeah, look, he looked really good in that first game anyway, so he could be someone that you might, you know, if you're a bit more patient with him, could be decent. But if, let's say hypothetically, you need 80k, four down to Preston to me feels okay as well. You know, you can capitalize this week on Preston's really, really low break even. And I think Moz was asking, well, saying earlier in the chat about Dury, just not really sure with him. I'm kind of in the similar boat. Like, I own Matt Dury. Thinking back, I probably would have wished maybe I went Cartwright just because he's got a slightly lower break even. He's going to make a little bit more money. Dury just feels like the definition of a plotter and a slow cash burn. He kind of reminds me a bit of like Tuolungi from last year. So Dury is one where I think this week I probably won't make an upgrade. He's got a negative break even, so he'll make a little bit of money. And for all I know, like, I think I'm just going to try to be patient with him because he is playing outside of Mitch Moses. Mitch Moses just needs to put him over for a try. That 38 average, you know, that game might become a 70-point game. And then that kind of kickstarts a bit of price rises for him. So I'm kind of thinking I might just be patient. But if I was totally happy with the rest of my team, I would be tempted to do Dury up to Eli Katoa. You can tell I really want Eli Katoa, but I just don't think it's going to quite work for me. All right, a couple of questions here. So Egan Butcher, so Ryan saying Egan Butcher to Preston. Yes, I think, and you, sorry, you've got Cam Murray, Fifita, Hop God, Eli Katoa, and Dury. Yeah, Ryan, I think your second or fourth is looking pretty good. Egan Butcher would be the one that I'd be selling out of those. And yeah, to Preston, I think is a nice downgrade. Frees up immediate money, but you will make money out of Preston. Think that's a good move. Inksentia says downgrade Egan Butcher to Schuster and upgrade Liera to Tohu. Now, Schuster, I'm going to assume you already own Preston. I just don't think Schuster is a must buy this week because he's not going to change price until round five. I think maybe, like, I'd always rather just capitalize on the guy who's going to go up in price immediately. Schuster's not going to quite fit that mold. Sticky Nicky says better to trade in Preston or Katoa for Butcher. Yeah, that is a tough one. I think it really, that one sounds a bit more like team makeup. If Egan Butcher was in your starting three, second row forward, I'd probably go Katoa because I think Katoa longer term is just going to be better for point scoring than Preston. If Egan Butcher was like your fourth second row forward and you can afford to not have to play that person, I'd maybe just go to Preston. Although, to be honest, Preston is probably going to be in my 17 this week if he's playing full 80 minutes and against the Tigers. Gary says, Isaac Thompson to the Hammer or Arthurs? I'm going to assume that's Jesse Arthurs. If that's the case, I'd rather just go Hammer so, in my opinion. I think more important role at fullback. Matt says, Dury also at risk given the current state. You know, Matto may start in the middle and then move to the second row. He's an Eels fan. Like, I personally feel like Madison will play in the middle. That's just me because I think he was really effective for you guys there in the middle last season. I can understand, though, that, you know, without Sean Lane, without Zay Papali'i, Brad Arthur might just think I need to get one of my guns on the edge. So that's one of the ones where, like, yeah, Dury, he's probably the one person in my second or forward who I think is the most at risk of moving. Because if Matto comes back, he takes the edge spot, Dury's on the bench. I'll take one price rise out of him, but then I'm thinking immediately Dury to like a Katoa or like a just try to mass upgrade him to someone as well. Mr. Carlio says Hughes or Sam Walker. So that's on the halfback side of things. I'd probably go Hughes now just with the fact that he doesn't have a bye coming up and a better draw. Moz says better play Preston or Cartwright this week. Oh god. Oh, so I'm looking at their numbers here, right? So base average of 55 for Preston, 49 for Cartwright. I would actually go Preston, I think, because base is probably going to be equal, but better matchup this week. Like, would you be surprised if he goes over for another try against the Tigers? Cartwright's got Manly could keep it tight. Yeah, I'd probably go Preston actually, if I'm being honest. Okay, so that's probably enough on the second row forwards. I'm conscious that there are a lot of questions coming in. I've got the trade ins and trade outs, but I don't think I need to speak about them too much. I think we've probably gone into a lot of these players in enough detail, so I might just skip over this part here. Captaincy, honestly, captaincy this week is really wide open. I know very early in the stream at the beginning, people were saying Hop God captain, 100% you can captain Hop God. You know, he's got a different picture to everyone else here because he's that special. Speaking of special, there's 200 of you guys watching the stream, which I really appreciate. So we're almost an hour in. Do give the stream a like if you are enjoying it. And yeah, in terms of captaincy, at the moment, I've actually still not got the vice captain or captain on Hop God. I know it sounds filthy. There's a couple of guys on Twitter who are going after me in a pleasant way, not in a banter way, nothing malicious. If they find out that I'm not captaining Hop God again this week, they're going to be after me as well. But at the moment, I'm thinking VC Turbo. I just think coming off a bye, I think Manly are going to beat Parramatta, and I think they're going to score lots of points. I think Turbo's easy potential 100 plus. Hop God probably solid 80. But I think with a VC, I want to try chance it and go for the upside. But if you're not really sure about captaincy this week, I think Hop God is your best safe option. Just lock in probably 75, 80 points, maybe even 100 plus. He could be that good. So yeah, at the moment I'm leaning VC Turbo. If I was to go another captain later in the week, I'm kind of not considering any of the Roosters Rabbitohs players, but Latrell could be an option goal kicking against his old team. I've got it kind of at the moment on Harry Grant. I just think against the Titans, I like the fact that he's got a few more middles back in the Storm team. So like Titans looked, they conceded 32 points against the Dragons in 50 minutes. I'm just feeling, I know it's a home game for the Titans, but surely Storm can't be that bad again this week. And I love Harry Grant. So I'm kind of just tempted to, yeah, captain Harry Grant. Moz makes a good point though about, are you just tempted to captain in the first game? Because that way you can just avoid having to use an AE and get someone like a Khan Pereira, who's versing Melbourne, so good chance he gets like sub 10. Definitely a good point. Probably not one I've thought about enough. But yeah, I'm still thinking VC. Maybe I'm just stuck in my old ways where I'm not viewing Hop God as too much of a captain option. I hope he hears this and doesn't get offended by me not calling him by his actual surname, but I kind of just want to keep calling him Hop God from now. Hop Good just doesn't do him justice. He's a god. Hop God. Yes, good point, Moz, but I'm still thinking at the moment I might just chance the VC on Turbo. Like, if he goes 150 plus, then I'll be like, sweet, lock it in. Other options, maybe for Feeder, but I think you'd rather go Jermaine. Holmes got a good matchup against the Warriors at home, but not playing fullback, I think I'd probably rule him out. I've gotten Reece Walsh. If you do want to go for a cheeky pod option, maybe go him against the Dragons. Downside with Reece Walsh, though, is that his base stats just normally aren't that good. So there is a chance that if he doesn't get any attacking stats, it's like a 20, 30 point game. And Matt says, you must have ball to steal if anyone's going to go for Dewey. Yeah, there's some rumors as well about Dewey being injured. So Incentia saying, have we talked about the rumor that Dewey's injured and won't play? Nope, haven't mentioned it yet. It is only a rumor, so I haven't mentioned it just in kind of like in terms of broadcasting it. I did see that tweet as well on Twitter. Hopefully we get some updated news about that. For me, it doesn't change a whole lot because I think even if he's out for the week, he's not someone I'm looking to sell. He's still a good hold. And I've got Isaiah Katoa as my backup 5'8", who's got the Knights. So I'm kind of just happy to plug in Katoa, I think, and just leave it. So for me, you know, obviously if you're looking to buy Dewey and you find that out, you obviously wouldn't go buying him at that point. But if you're an owner, I kind of just feel like you just ride it out for a week if he is injured for the week. Here we go. Harry Taylor Byrne. The cult of Hop God is disappointed by your heresy. I apologize. I apologize to the Hop God cult out there. Maybe I need to captain him just to get the Twitter folk off my back. How about that? But no, definitely a great option this week for captain. And What Will You Do says, I'm going Walsh captain and I'm pumped for it. Awesome. All right, so we've just hit the hour mark. Quick shout out as well to all of our YouTube members. If you are interested in becoming a member, there should be hopefully an option on the stream somewhere where you can do it. It's only like 99 cents a month. There's no real bonus content. The only thing you do get as a YouTube member is complimentary access to my buy planning spreadsheet. So if there's anyone who's got the buy planning spreadsheet and is liking it, let people know in the chat. Would really appreciate it. But, you know, really appreciate all the members out there who are, you know, supporting me so far. So that's it for all the kind of hot topics and discussions I wanted to go through for round three. I'll quickly chat about my team for a second. So what I'll do now is probably the next 10, 15 minutes, I'll talk about my team a little bit, what I'm thinking, and we'll do about 10 minutes of straight Q&A just after that. So in terms of the trades, so obviously Brandon, like the way my team's set up, I kind of feel like I can, you know, if I needed to not play Brandon Smith, I could, because I've got Niokoro, Preston, and Teddy as reserves, which I'm happy with, and then it'll just be a case of one of Katoa or Dury or Brandon Smith. But yeah, I'm kind of fine with those reserves, but I do think I want to try to get rid of Brandon Smith. So what we will do, and to answer your question, Egan or Marnie, we spoke about this a little bit earlier in the hooker section, so I would recommend scrolling back to there, but my general feel is read Marnie, because I think just more secure for minutes. Oh, Incentia, welcome to being a member. Appreciate it, Incentia. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate that support. So here's one set of trades that I was thinking about this week. They're pretty boring in terms of who I'm bringing in. So one initial thought was Smith to Reid Marnie. To'o out for Karaz. Don't love this one, but it's more of a price, more of a just ability to potentially lock in a keeper. To'o's got the buy. I kind of spoke a little bit about my potential rationale for doing that earlier. And then it was Isaac Thompson, I think, out for Hammer. So it's like three of the most popular guys being traded in this week. I can do that for a boost and have 12K. So Brandon Smith, I'm getting rid of that problem. Isaac Thompson can come good, but he might be someone who I might just look to bring in back later, because he's got a break even of like 37. So he's not going to be changing too much in price, if I'm being honest. And then, Karaz for the potential upside as well. So like if I were to do that, like I'm looking at a pretty decent 17 this week. It means I don't need to play Alamotti, although he's got the Tigers, so definitely a good chance of a play. Hammerso's got the Knights, Warbrick's got the Titans. So this is the thing, like I don't have to sell To'o this week. I think my four centers, I could just do Isaac Thompson to the Hammer and be happy with those four centers. But I do like the look of Karaz. And then Cheese out for Marnie looks solid. That's kind of locking in two hookers. And then, what was my other trade? Hammer, who I've already spoken about. So those are, I look at this as sensible, boring trades. Like, I don't think there's anything too controversial about those. Maybe To'o out, questionable. But I'm still keeping Tedesco, still keeping Cleary. So I'm not having to sacrifice any of those big guns. So next week, what that would mean is, I'd have 12K in the bank, which is not a lot to play with. So my early thoughts are when Walker's got the buy and Teddy's got the buy, if Teddy doesn't do well, I would do Tedesco to Walsh. That frees up about 220K. Assuming Sam Walker goes up maybe to let's call it 650K, hypothetically, I would have 870K available. So I need an extra 30K to get to Hines. So I would maybe have to boost again next week, which I'm not opposed to. I don't mind boosting. Because I haven't traded yet to this point, I don't mind going zero trades, 3-3, if that helps me set up my team. So maybe then I could boost next week, and maybe I could do that's the question though, who would I boost to get an extra 30K from? Maybe, I don't know, this is the thing, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I do need to make the move this week, or maybe instead of Reid Marnie, I go cheaper and go Wade Egan. Because that will give me enough money then to go Sam Walker to Nico Hines straight away. So kind of now that I'm thinking about that out loud, maybe that means I don't go Reid Marnie. Maybe I do go Wade Egan. I do prefer Reid Marnie though. But this is why before I was thinking about instead of going Reid Marnie, maybe I just go Sonny Luke straight away. I know it's not great, but I'm happy with my four reserves. I don't need to play that second hooker spot at this stage. And so, when I do this, I've got 350K. Next week, I could just do Sam Walker to Nico Hines in one move, and that's it. I don't even have to downgrade Tedesco if I don't want to. So this is kind of the permutations that are running in my head at this point. I think I'm likely to do To'o to Karaz, and I think Isaac Thompson to the Hammer, I'm still iffy on, but I can see myself doing it. It's this Brandon Smith one where I'm still umming and ahhing about. Do I go Marnie or do I go maybe cheaper to Sonny Luke or do I maybe just go with Wade Egan instead? Maybe I can go Wade Egan, ride him in terms of price rises for a couple of weeks and then go down to Sonny Luke. That's also an option. But I'm also conscious that I just don't want to be burning trades if I don't have to. So those are my early thoughts for trades. If I'm being honest, there's not a whole lot more that I've thought about. Looking at the rest of my team, I do want to fix up front row forward. The front row forward is a bit crap, if I'm being honest. Like Welch and Oichikamanu is not fantastic. But then I'm looking at like my front, my second row forward. I'm happy with all of those. Maybe Dewey, but like happy with Niokoe, Preston, and those starting three. Dewey, I'm fine with. If I do get to Nico Hines, I'll have Cleary and Nico Hines, which is probably the ideal halfback combo. I'll have Val Holmes, Karaz, and, you know, Taruva. So, like, even losing To'o, like, I'm still keeping one Panthers back, at least. So, I'm kind of thinking about that, too. So, like, my starting center wings each week could be that'd be Val Holmes, Karaz, Taruva, and then one of Kyan Pereira, Hammer, Warbrick, and Alamotti each week, which I think is fine in terms of rotating them. And, yeah, I'd still have Turbo and Teddy. So Matthew's saying you should swap Teddy for Walsh to free up some cash. As I mentioned, I think I'm more comfortable doing this next week. I don't think it's a must for me this week. So, yeah, so I think it's going to be these type of players who I'm looking to trade out this week. So Matt says, if you're considering trading Teddy out next week instead of To'o, trade and get rid of Teddy for Reese. Okay, sorry, so I just mentioned your question as well. I mean, that's a potential option as well. If I do Teddy to Walsh, it does maybe give me the window of doing up to Garrick next week as well. But I think I want to try to be a bit more sensible, maybe. Maybe Teddy to Walsh is sensible, but I still think I can wait a week and I don't have to do it this week. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about with my own team and trade. So I can't promise any confirmed moves, but you can kind of see where my head's at in terms of potential moves. Probably going to be trading out Cheese, probably trading out To'o, which I don't love, by the way, but I think I want Karaz. And then, maybe Isaac Thompson to the Hammer. This is the thing, I don't even have to do Isaac Thompson to the Hammer. I don't have to boost this week, but I do want to try to just, you know, I think my team's relatively well set up. I don't mind using a boost to try to set myself up to get a little bit ahead of the pack if I can. Anyways, that's that. I think what we'll do now is we'll do about 5-7 minutes of just straight Q&A. So if you've got your questions and I haven't been able to get to them to this point, start dropping them in the chat and we'll go through those for the next kind of 5 to 10 minutes. And yeah, hopefully I can help you guys out. But as always, please do give the stream a like if you are enjoying it. Neil says, was 1053 a good score this week? Absolutely. Very good score this week. James says, I really want to get Garrick in because I think he's going to go off on Thursday night, but I'll miss out on the Hammer. Do I get rid of Cheese or Burton? Am I being stupid? So there's a few things going on there. So if you want to get rid of one of Cheese or Burton, probably Cheese. I know Burton's got a high break even, but he does have the Tigers this week, so he's not like a bad hold. If you're trying to force in Garrick, maybe you do need to go Cheese down to Sonny Luke to free up the cash. And you miss out on the Hammer. Look, I don't think the Hammer is a must. Like, Garrick is an out-and-out gun, so I don't think that's a bad sacrifice. Jonty says, sell Egan Butcher to fund Smith to Marnie, or just go with Smith to Luke. Second hooker is Boyd. Jonty, in your situation, the fact that your second hooker is Tanner Boyd, I would probably try to get a better first option hooker, which would probably be Reed Marnie. And I think selling Egan Butcher, maybe if it's like to Preston, to get you from Smith up to Reed Marnie, I'd probably do that. I think it's more important that you bolster up that first hooker spot than just try to go cheap with Sonny Luke, because I don't love a Sonny Luke-Tanner Boyd combination. Hey, man, pick one for most important half. Cleary to Moses, Cherry Evans, or someone else I have missed. Should I look to get Garrick in this week or wait? One trade left. Look, I don't think Garrick is a must trade in this week. I think there is definitely an option where you can just wait and watch. I don't even think Cleary has to be a trade out as well. If you are going to someone, I would probably go to Hughes for the draw. It'd probably be Hughes, then it'd probably be Cherry Evans, because I do think Manly are going to be good. After that, probably would be Mitchell Moses. Matt says, what section of your team are you looking to bulk up the most? Halves, focus, front row forward? Look, I think halves, like, I think front row forward needs the most work in terms of getting a better front row forward, like, which Commander and Welch probably can't be there long term. But if I can try to cap, like, the difference in me going from Pele to To'o, when I think I've already got enough other good depth, like, let's say if I wanted to go Oichikamanu to To'o, that's 300k. But if I went Sam Walker to Nico Hines, I feel like I view that as a better upgrade, if that makes sense. Like I was listening to the Playbook guys before I came on, and Adam Jerusalem had a great stat that Tohu Harris has in the last since 2018 has had one score over 100. Like he's a great option, but he's just not going to be someone who's going to hurt you. Nico Hines can go 180, so I'd rather, where possible, try to prioritize trades in getting those guns, especially if I can get him in a week earlier than most. And Nico Hines, if he's back next week, he's got the Dragons, definite captaincy option. Oliver, sorry, Ryan says, Hammer plus Marnie or Carras and Egan slash Sonny Luke. Probably the second, probably Carras and Wade Egan. I just prefer Carras to Hammer, and I don't think there's as much of a gap between Marnie and Wade Egan compared to, say, Hammer and Carras. James says Josh used to captain this week. Not a chance. Not a chance. First game he's playing this season. We have no idea how he's going to recover from his calf issue. Sell Smith, Teddy, Tupou by Carras, Marnie, Walsh. 250k left for Walker to Hines. Thoughts? Yeah, Oliver, to be honest, I think it's a pretty decent strategy. I think a lot of people are going to do similar this week. Carras and Marnie are good buyers this week. You can obviously do it next week where you go Teddy to Walsh, but I think if you're fine to do that this week and capitalize on Walsh's good game this week, I think it's pretty solid. And especially getting that ability to go Walker to Hines in one move next week is not bad. What will you do? Says my reserve options are Marnie, Mam, Wilton, Josh King, Turbo. Who misses out? Well, Turbo is not even an option. He has to play. So that's one spot gone. Wilton, I'd probably bench Josh King, if I'm being honest. I'd probably play all the other four. Ryan says last reserve, Oetekamanu, Dury, Preston, Katoa. I'd say Preston. Good base at average, but versus the Tigers, it's a good matchup for potential attacking stats. Steezer says, do we just do Cleary to Hines next week? I kind of feel hard about doing that because next week Cleary's coming off a bye, freshened up, Parramatta at home. Like Parramatta are conceding points. So, and there is like Hines isn't a must buy next week. Like it will be his first game back from this calf issue. He might not be at 100% performance, so he might not come out getting like hundreds. He might just come out getting like 65, and he could be losing a lot of money. So, whilst I think it's good to plan for getting in Hines, it's another reason why I'm kind of not like locked in on Teddy to Walsh because I don't need necessarily, I think, that money this week. Play Egan Butcher or Liero? Probably Liero. I think he looks like he'll be safe for 80 minutes, and he's got the better matchup against the Tigers. Oh, sorry, against the Titans. Sorry. Moz says tipping Harry Grant for top scorer of the round. He's going to go nuts, I reckon. Well, my friend, that's why he's got the golden shading on his name. He's the El Capitano for me at the moment. Sandy says, who are the priority trade-ins this week? Oh, geez. I mean, there's a big list of players. I think probably best, Sandy, to go to the first slide that I started talking about, which was about the players with the lowest break-evens. I mean, if you don't own Hopgood, he's absolutely number one. I'd probably say someone like Jacob Preston. Probably any of these other cheapy centers like Alamotti, Warbrick, Taruva. If you don't own any of them, maybe not Taruva because he's not changing in price this week, but someone like Alamotti and Warbrick, I think, are pretty good cheap centers that you should probably get in if you haven't already. Preston, I think, is going to be really good. I think Isaiah Katoa is going to be good too. So I think if you've got a potential to go for him this week, I think he's a pretty good trade-in target. Who else we got? That's probably it for the priority trade-ins. I really like the look of Eli Katoa. I think my second or forward setup is pretty good. I don't think I need to get to him, but I don't like not having Eli Katoa. I really do think he's a good option this week too. Will Shaw says Cleary to Schuster or Teddy to Hammer. Of those two, Teddy to Hammer. Teddy's going to go down in price most likely this week. Hammer's going up. Schuster nor Cleary are changing in price. And as I mentioned, I'd rather hold on to Cleary. Ben says, unfortunately, have to keep Cheese this week due to other spot fires. Worth putting the reserve on him as a pod move. If you had four other people, like if you had like a fullback, a front, a second row forward, Preston, and Katoa, I'd probably rather play all of them compared to Cheese. I just think the rib injury is going to limit his output. Stuart says, is it wrong to go a week early on Walsh? You can go Smith, Teddy and Thompson to Walsh, Egan and Carraz. No, look, I don't think it's wrong. In the Teddy section, I basically said people who are looking to do Teddy to Walsh this week, I think are perfectly viable to do it. I'm just thinking I might just wait until next week if I need to do it. Sandy says, I have everyone you listed, anyone else? Look, Carraz, I mean, the thing is, Sandy, I think everyone who I mentioned is probably who I think is a priority. I don't think anyone else is a priority, but in terms of the other really good options, yeah, probably the Hammer, Carraz, who else was there? There's a bunch of players this week. I mean, this week is so interesting for trades, right? There's so many different avenues that we could go. Matt says, thoughts on Teddy for Walsh? I'll probably won't address that. I think I've mentioned that enough. Brandon Smith to Marnie and Burton to Tohu via duels. Yeah, I like that. You're locking in someone like Tohu. That fat guy says, hey, man, first live stream you've been able to attend. Oh, awesome to have you. Thanks, that fat guy. And you've got trading the following. Brandon Smith, Isaac Thompson, and IPAP to Tohu Harris, Egan, Wade Egan, I'm guessing, and Carraz. Thoughts? Holding Cleary got Grant. Yeah, I think it's pretty solid. I think Papali'i is an easy sell. Suspended for a week, very high price tag. Wade Egan is solid. If you can afford Reid Marnie, I'd like, I might prefer that, but if it's a money thing, fair enough. I do like the Thompson to Carraz upgrade as well. So I think those are three good trades. Stuart says, did I discuss Egan versus Marnie? Yeah, definitely. If you wind back a bit, there's a section where I talk specifically about dummy halves, and I mentioned the whole Egan versus Marnie. In short, I think Marnie is a safer option. All right, guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. Just look at my watch. It's 9:50. We've been going for like an hour, 20 minutes. It's been a big, long stream, but I think lots to get into this week. So hopefully you all enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sticking with me. I know it's getting close to people's bedtime probably. So yeah, really appreciate all of you joining me tonight. Please do give the stream a like on the way out. It's good for the YouTube algorithm, which I'm all about. So yeah, please do give the stream a like if you did enjoy it. Any more questions as well, please put them in the comments. Tag me on Twitter if you have any more questions as well. I probably won't be able to do a Thursday lockout stream, unfortunately, this week. Got some other commitments, but feel free to post any questions as well, and I'll try to get back to you during the week. But hopefully you all enjoyed this and found this useful. And I'll see you all in the next one. Cheers.